What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Just to examine the phrase at first glance, you might think it means to be weak, lacking in strength, perhaps downtrodden, or suffering. And physically speaking, the phrase poor in spirit would fit. But we must look at it not from a physical standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint. The Sermon on the Mount, given by Jesus Christ, was a message to the disciples in which he described the character quality of true Christians. The sermon showed how a disciple should conduct his life in order to be in a right relationship with God. And one of these character qualities that Christ described to the disciples is the poor in spirit. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, to begin the message this afternoon. And when you examine chapter 4, before chapter 5, we see that Jesus Christ came into Galilee preaching the gospel message. He was healing, doing great works, and fame spread around the region about what he was doing. In the meantime, he called the disciples to follow him. And then we come to chapter 5. Again, his great multitudes were following him because of his fame. Then we come to Matthew chapter 5 in verse number 1. And Matthew writes this: "And seeing the multitudes, he," speaking of Christ, "went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him." So apparently, Christ, to get away from the multitudes and the crowds, went up on a mountain to get away and have some silent time. And the disciples came up with him as well. And he began to teach the disciples. Now this was actually the first time that he would teach the disciples after he had called them to follow him. And this is what some of the commentators call his first discourse. And what follows in verses 3 through 10 is known as the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, which come from the Latin root meaning blessed. And each one of these verses, verses 3 through 10, starts with the word, our English word, blessed. So we come to verse number 3, or verse number 2. And it says, "He opened his mouth and taught the disciples, saying," verse number 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This is such an important character quality that Christ began his teaching of the disciples talking about this quality of the poor in spirit. And it's such an important quality that he said those that have it are on the road to the kingdom of God. Christ began teaching the disciples, as we see here. And this was the first principle that he taught. The lead-off principle of a disciple of Christ. And the disciples needed to learn this spiritual principle. And also anyone who follows Jesus Christ, meaning us, we need to learn it as well. The title of today's sermon is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Blessed are the poor in spirit. Today, let's learn what it means to be poor in spirit. Poor in spirit is one of the character qualities Christ taught that characterizes a disciple of his. So during the sermon today, we will learn what it means to be poor in spirit, and we will also focus on three qualities of that particular character quality, to be poor in spirit. Notice that verse number 3, like all of the Beatitudes, begins with our English word blessed. Now, that's not talking about how we feel, but it's talking about being in a blessed situation, one that comes to a servant of God. We also see our English word poor here, and poor from the Greek word is describing poverty, a poor person. But that's not what this is talking about in this particular verse, about poverty or a person who is poor. What this is talking about is an attitude and the way of heart, a frame of mind. And when we boil it all down, what we're talking about is the quality of being humble. Poor in spirit equals being humble. Small in one's eyes, as opposed to being proud or being great in one's eyes. The poor in spirit are humble and lowly, as opposed to the Pharisees, who are proud, full of self-esteem, and looked upon their accomplishments, religiously speaking. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And we'll be looking at verse number 3. Galatians chapter 6. Previously, in verse number 2, the Apostle Paul admonishes the brethren to bear one another's burdens. And we come to verse number 3. And notice, the Apostle Paul says this: "For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself." And that's talking about somebody who's proud, who looks at themselves and thinking that they are great, that they're above other people. And the Apostle Paul says, somebody that has that kind of thinking, that they are really something, they're deceiving themselves. Positions of authority, to be great, to be seen by others. That's the world view. That's the way it's been throughout mankind's history, where people have wanted to rule over others, to put others down and think of themselves as great. But that's the opposite of the poor in spirit. Notice Isaiah chapter 66. We're looking at the meaning of this word, or this phrase, poor in spirit, as it relates to being humble. Isaiah chapter 66. And let's read verses 1 through 2. In these two verses, there's a contrast here between God's magnificence, His creation, His greatness, and what he really looks at, and who He really looks at. Isaiah 66, verse number 1, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." God is the creator of everything. He controls everything. Continuing on, "Where is the house that you will build me?" He asks mankind. "And where is the place of my rest?" Verse number 2, "For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord." God is over all. He has created everything. But notice the last part of verse number 2. "But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit." Now, a better translation of the word poor here is humble. Humble. And that's what God looks at. That's the type of person God looks at. The one that is humble and of a contrite spirit. And furthermore, the last part of verse number 2, "and who trembles at my word." In other words, somebody that follows God's words in obedience. Now, one of the commentary points out that the basic message of Isaiah throughout the book is that God wants His people to follow the truth that He has revealed to them. "I've revealed the truth to you. Follow my word in my way." And the poor in spirit, the humble, in other words, have a deep reverence for God's word, and they apply it in their lives. That's what's hard for man to do. Because of human nature, we resist God's word. But the poor in spirit, the humble person, applies God's word in his life. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. We'll read verses 18 and 19. Another contrast section of scripture, contrasting the humble with the proud. Proverbs chapter 16. Verse number 18 and 19. Verse 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride leads to a person's downfall, spiritually speaking, and it's destructive to the character. Verse number 19, it's better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Better to be of a humble spirit, using God's word to build the right kind of character. That's what we need to be doing as disciples. It's the opposite of those who think they are superior, those who have the proud kind of attitude. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. This is a section of scripture where the Apostle John, inspired by Jesus Christ, gave a description of several of the churches that existed in the first century A.D. It's also a description of the church ages the churches down throughout the ages. And the one we're going to look at is the last church age described, that of Laodicea, in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Now, as you're turning to this section of scripture, let me describe a little bit about the city of Laodicea during that particular time. Laodicea was a banking center. It was known in the Roman world for its banking and money that was involved and exchanged in that particular area. It was also a clothing manufacturing center where they made all kinds of very fine garments that people wanted. Laodicea also had a medical school that produced medicines, notably an eye salve that people used during those days. Gives you some background to what we're going to read. Now, verse number 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. This is talking about the spiritual state of the people. Verse number 16. So then, because you are lukewarm, somewhere in between, you're not hot or not cold, spiritually speaking, you're just lukewarm. Because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Not something that a disciple wants to happen at all. Then the description gets to the nitty-gritty here in verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. And you know, that unfortunately describes many in today's world, that they feel like they have, or they want to have more material goods, you know, better home, more cars, more computers, you know, more things, more accumulation of things. Because you say I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, spiritually speaking, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So, people who have material wealth, and yet, spiritually speaking, they're poor, they're blind, and they're naked. Now, having wealth is not a sin. Having material goods is not a sin. But the strong desire for wealth and the pursuit of riches is often associated with pride. And that's the opposite of humility. Verse number 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. And where do we get that? From God's word, from the scriptures, studying that on a daily basis, taking God's mind into our life. I counsel you to buy gold refined in the fire because God's word is gold, that you may be rich, spiritually speaking, and white garments, that you may be clothed. And of course, I mentioned that they were known for the garments that they produced in that particular area. But this is talking about being spiritually clothed. That the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. That you may see, spiritually speaking, and walk as a disciple. And humbly speaking as well. The poor in spirit, when we boil all this down, realize that they must be detached from material things and they must be attached to God. William Barclay sums up the meaning of the blessed, of the poor in spirit like this. Blessed are those who have realized their own helplessness and have put their whole trust in God. They realize their own helplessness, spiritually speaking, and they put their trust in God. And that brings me to the first quality of the poor in spirit. I'm going to give you three here as we continue on in this sermon. The first character quality of the poor in spirit is they put their whole trust in God. Let me repeat that. The first character quality of the poor in spirit is they put their whole trust in God. Let's go to Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34. We've defined that the poor in spirit is those that have a humble attitude and want more of God's word and walk in God's word. And they also put their whole trust in God. Psalm chapter 34. And let's read verses 6 through 8. Psalm 34, this is a psalm of David. And this is interesting the way this verse begins. Psalm chapter 34 and verse number 6. David says this. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. Now David's describing himself as poor. Most likely he was one of the richest men on the face of the earth at that time. He was the king over all Israel, and he was a rich man. But he's not describing the riches, the material wealth that he has. He's talking about something else. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and notice, and saved him out of all his troubles. So what he's talking about, his poor state here, was that he was afflicted by trials and shortcomings and sins in his life. Those were his troubles, and God was the one that delivered him out of it. And why? Because David put his trust in God. Let's continue on. Verse number 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. David uses military terminology here, like a military force would camp around the whatever they're going to attack. And he uses that analogy that God will deliver one out of troubles when they trust and look to him. Continuing on, verse number 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's whetting our appetite here. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And then notice the last part of verse number 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. We can reflect that last part of verse number 8 back to Matthew chapter 5. Blessed is the poor in spirit. Combine the two together. Blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed is the man who trusts in God, or the disciple who trusts in God. Those who put their trust in God will experience genuine happiness. They're blessed. And the poor being the humble who have put their trust in God. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. Notice how this verse starts out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what a humble person does. Puts all their trust in God with all their heart. And lean not on your own understanding. If mankind could only learn that lesson, not to put trust in ourselves, in other men, but to trust in God, we live in a different world. Verse number 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. If we do not live God's way, if we put trust in ourselves, we render ourselves useless. We must put our complete trust in God. The Bible Knowledge Commentary adds this to this section of Scripture. It says, the poor in spirit are those who consciously depend on God, not on themselves. They are poor inwardly, having no ability in themselves to please God. But they humbly put their trust and faith in Him to direct their paths. One more scripture relating to this first point of trusting in God. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 17. First Timothy, chapter 6, and we'll read verse number 17. It's an interesting way that the Apostle Paul starts out this particular scripture. He uses the word command in verse 17. First Timothy, chapter 6, and verse number 17, he says this, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Now he was addressing the people of his day and time, his present age, but is also for our day and age as well, here in the 21st century. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. And notice the last part of verse 17. Who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Trust in the living God for the spiritual riches, in other words, and put our whole trust, our whole heart in trusting Him. That's what the humble, the poor in spirit do. The second character quality of the poor in spirit is a willingness to listen and follow. A willingness to listen and follow. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And we'll read verses 16 through 19. I've mentioned to you before that in the time of Christ, that on the Sabbath day in the synagogues, they would have an important teacher read from the law or the prophets. And because Jesus Christ's fame was building and he was preaching and doing many mighty works in the province of Galilee, he was one of those recognized teachers. And there was a leader of the synagogue, and when one of these important teachers come in, they would present to him the law and the prophets to read from. And that's what's happening here with Jesus Christ. Let's pick it up in verse 14 of Luke 4. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region. Verse 15, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Verse 16, so he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And notice verse 17. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And no doubt on purpose, Jesus Christ was reading from this section. Verse number 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, Jesus Christ did preach. Most of the people in his day and time were poor. And he was preaching the gospel message. But unfortunately, most of these poor people that were following him were more concerned about their bellies, about getting fed, than they were about actually following his word. Who Jesus Christ is addressing here to preach the gospel to the poor is to the spiritually poor, those who really need and want to follow God's way of life. Continuing on, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And again, we can add the spiritually brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives, those that have been captive to Satan's way of life. And recovery of sight to the blind, the spiritually blind, who could not understand God's word, but it's revealed to them. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to, verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So the poor that we read about here in verse 18, where he says to preach the gospel to the poor, includes the poor of the day, but more importantly, to all who are spiritually impoverished and the spiritually blind. And those are the people that recognize their need for God in their lives, and they're absolutely willing to listen and follow. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 1. Again, talking about those that are humble, poor in spirit, that are willing to listen and follow. Luke chapter 15, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. This comes on the heels of the section in chapter 14 talking about forsaking all to follow Jesus Christ. Luke 15, verse number 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him. Now the tax collectors were hated in that day and time. They were the ones that went around collecting the severe taxes for the Roman government and a lot from the poor people. The Jews of Christ's day did not like to see the tax collectors come, and they were not well liked or looked upon. So we see here we have tax collectors and sinners who came to Christ, and they wanted to hear him. They wanted to hear his gospel message. But notice the attitude of the Pharisees in verse 2. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Now these sinners and these tax collectors realized their state. They wanted to be with Christ. They wanted to hear his message. And they had the right attitude. The opposite of the Pharisees, who were looking down on these people who truly wanted to change their lives. Then Jesus Christ goes on to speak a parable about the attitude of a repentant person and how great that is, the rejoicing aspect of it. Verse number 3, so he spoke this parable to them saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" Going after that lost sheep with all that he has, diligently. Verse number 5, "And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing." Verse 6, "And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" Then he sums it up in verse number 7 and says this, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." He's talking about an attitude here and the rejoicing that goes on for one person with a repentant attitude, because they want to follow Jesus Christ. They want to learn more of God's way of life. As opposed to somebody who thinks they're great, thinks they're just, "I don't need to repent." Not the right attitude at all. And the attitude of the poor in spirit, the humble person, has a willingness to listen and follow. Especially in a repentant attitude. And that brings me to point number 3 of the poor in spirit, the character quality. Is the poor in spirit realize their own shortcomings and sins. The third character quality of the poor in spirit is they realize their own shortcomings and sins. Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51. The record of David's repentant prayer to God after he had sinned with Bathsheba. David had the right kind of attitude and the right kind of heart seeking after God. Notice Psalm chapter 51. And let's read verses 16 and 17. Psalm chapter 51, beginning in verse number 16, David says this in his prayer to God. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else would I give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. Now we in the Bible study series on Leviticus, we talked a whole lot about the sacrifices. And the sacrifices was the way that ancient Israel approached God. We talked about the fact that God's presence had occupied the tabernacle. And the only way for Israel to approach God was through by means of the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices. But notice what David says here in verse number 7, picking up the last part of verse number 16. You do not delight in burnt offering. Verse 17, this is what God delights in. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. David, after sinning, realized his sins and the need for a contrite spirit and the right attitude in his approach to God, a repentant attitude. And that's what a humble person does. They see their own shortcomings and their sins. They approach God and they ask for his mercy and forgiveness. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We're going to read the parable of the Pharisee and the publican and contrast their attitudes. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Luke chapter 8. See, that's not right. Luke chapter 18, I'm sorry. I was in Luke 8. I don't know what I said there. Luke chapter 18, and beginning in verse number 9. Luke 18, verse 9, we read, also he spoke this parable to some, notice this phrase, who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's not what we want to be. That's describing the proud, the haughty, the opposite of the poor in spirit. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Here's the parable, verse number 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Okay? Two different men here. The Pharisee was the one that thought he was right. He was doing right. He looked down on other people. The tax collector was a person that was not well liked in that day and time. And he knew it. Verse number 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even, he probably was pointing, as this tax collector. What a rude, terrible thing to do. This was a proud man who thought he was just. Then he goes on to describe himself very proudly in verse number 12. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And then notice the attitude of the tax collector, verse 13. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me as a sinner. He realized his state. He realized that he was a sinner, and he asked for God's mercy. Verse 14, Christ wraps it up in verse 14 and says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. And then he adds this in verse 14, the last part, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled or put down. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. So we see a contrast here of two different attitudes. The tax collector realized his own shortcomings and sins. He asked for God's mercy. He is poor in spirit, has a humble attitude. Let's take a look shortly at another parable here. Luke 15, verse number 11. Beginning in verse 11, just a couple pages back. Luke 15, verse number 11, another parable. Verse 11 of chapter 15, then he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with riotous living, prodigal living, as it says. Verse 14, But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Verse 16, And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. And then notice verse number 17. But when he came to himself, when he realized what he had done and the shortcomings that he had done, when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. This was a man who learned his lessons, came to the right kind of attitude, a humble attitude, a repentant attitude, and was seeking forgiveness. And the story goes on a little bit further. Another parable to sum up what we've been talking about, Luke chapter 14, just another page back, verses 7 through 11. Luke 14, verse number 7. So he told a parable to those who were invited, talking about being invited to a wedding feast, when he noted how they chose the best places. So there were people that were invited to a feast, and they were looking for the best places to sit. That was it. Back in those ancient times, there was a huge table, and you always wanted to sit around in the best place, especially next to the host. So they chose the best places, and he said to them in verse number 8, When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. Verse number 9, And he who invited you and him come and say to you, Give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But you, when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, Friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at table with you. Then he sums it up in verse 14. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. In other words, better to take the humble road, to have the humble attitude, and be exalted later, especially by God. A couple more scriptures as we begin to wind down, this being a shorter sermon because of the Bible study to follow. Let's go to Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. We see so many important points of this being poor in spirit, a humble person, a humble disciple who puts their trust in God. They realize their shortcomings and sins, and they are willing to listen and follow as well. Micah chapter 6. And let's read verses 6 through 8. Micah chapter 6. This section also begins with coming before God with sacrifices in the comparison of the way that a person really should approach God as a disciple. Micah 6 verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves a year old. And remember, it was a sacrifice, a deep sacrifice in the ancient times to give up the very best that you had to come and worship God. Verse number 7. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? In other words, great sacrifices of material wealth that a person has. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Then it's summed up here in verse number 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's what God really wants to see, and that describes the poor in spirit. One more final scripture, Isaiah chapter 57. In verse number 15, Isaiah 57, in verse 15, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. God says this, I dwell in the high and holy place with who? With him who has a contrite and humble spirit. That's who God walks with. The disciple, the person that has a humble and contrite spirit. And then finally, the last part of verse 15. And to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And you can draw a line between heart and humble. Because it's an attitude. It's a way of life. And contrite and humble here can be rephrased, genuinely humble. That's the bottom line, genuinely humble. Brethren, true Christianity begins, and Christ began his message, his teaching discourse to the disciples. True Christianity begins by being poor in spirit. To be humble as opposed to being proud. To realize one's own shortcomings and sins. To be willing to listen to and to follow in the path of Jesus Christ, and to put all of our trust in God. To have that character quality, poor in spirit, a humble disciple, is truly a blessing. It's a character quality of a disciple of Christ. And it's a great spiritual blessing that helps keep us on the road to the kingdom of God.